The Green Bay Packers filled the 90th and final spot on their roster. We'll get into the latest edition and preview week 3 of OTAs. To do so, we bring on Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette onto the show. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about Packers OTAs this morning, and to do so, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Expert interview.
Mr. Wood, how you doing this morning?
Hey, doing great, Brian. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. Your first appearance on Railbird Central. Excited to have you. The Green Bay Packers signed offensive lineman Vince Kowalski on Tuesday. Obviously, we don't know much about him yet. We'll start to learn more about him today as OTAs take place. But it is a new addition kind of behind the eight ball being brought in during week 3 of OTAs?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, obviously, week 3 of OTAs, he's missed 2 weeks already of OTAs, and he's missed a rookie minicamp that is kind of the introduction for newcomers to the organization, to the program, to the way things are done. So he's another body, 6'4". Obviously, he's got a great name for an offensive tackle, Vince Kowalski. I mean, that name right there, you know where he's playing. Certainly he's got some making up to do. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it'll be interesting to track his progress and see how he kind of makes up for lost time.
Why do you suppose it took until June 9th for the Packers to fill their 90-man roster? They had, 25 or so players in for tryouts at their rookie minicamp and could have signed any of those players they wanted. Why did they wait on this Kowalski kid?
You know, that's a good question, and it's anyone's guess. Obviously, it all comes down to what Ted Thompson sees, what he thinks, and getting inside Ted Thompson's mind is at times an impossible task. So, it's certainly strange because you would think that naturally you'd take someone from that rookie orientation, get him in the program as fast as possible. But I also think that it shows you that they clearly do see something with this kid. Or why else would they take a chance on June 9th to bring him into Green Bay? So there's something there. You got to remember, obviously, they didn't draft an offensive lineman this year, very much a rarity for Ted Thompson. So he's another body there. And it just goes to show that there's something that they like about this kid that made them pull the trigger, albeit late.
All right, so Wednesday represents what is expected to be John Kuhn's first practice open to the public since taking off last week to attend the NFL's broadcast boot camp. I guess this kind of presents a good opportunity right now to talk about him. So does it hurt at all for a veteran that's played as long as John Kuhn has to miss a week of off-season practice?
I don't think so. Not really. And the thing with John Kuhn, his greatest asset right now is his knowledge of the offense anyway. I mean, he's not the fastest guy, not the strongest guy anymore. He just knows the offense so well that you can rely on him to always be in the right place, to always do his assignment. And that's an invaluable commodity. So for a guy that has so much institutional knowledge to build up, missing a couple practices in June is not going to be the end of the world. And you can see how much they trust him because of how much Aaron Rodgers trusts him. I think that he's a guy that Rodgers really leans on and relies on to be almost a sounding board. He's a guy that's been in the program for as long, one of the longest tenured Packers that there is, and that institution knowledge is really a big thing for him.
The Packers, of course, selected a fullback in the NFL draft, taking Aaron Ripkowski, with many assuming he'll be Kuhn's eventual replacement at some point. I'm assuming Ripkowski took many of Kuhn's reps at practice last week in addition to his own, so I kind of want to get the perspective of someone who's there in person. Obviously, we don't have the full story on Aaron Ripkowski yet, but how's the rookie looking thus far?
Well, he's looking like a rookie, you know. He's a guy that has a lot of potential. He was drafted high for a fullback. And I think the thing with Aaron Ripkowski that's really, obviously learning from John Kuhn is one thing, but being molded as a young fullback by Sam Gash is going to be really interesting for him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you go back to Sam Gash's playing days, he was as good as he got as far as being a smash-mouth fullback. I mean, he was very, very good in that role. Aaron Ripkowski seems to his path is going to be to develop into that same role. So to have Sam Gash there as a guy to mold him is going to be really big for that.
We're talking to Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette here on a Wednesday morning on Railbird Central. Getting back to the topic of missing practice, the Packers have a pair of kids from Stanford, Ty Montgomery and James Waters, that have missed OTAs thus far to finish out their college education and graduate. How long will these guys be playing catch-up once they return?
Well, I think it's different for those two. It's obviously a bigger deal for James Waters, who he's an undrafted guy, and you can just imagine for a guy that you know, he had every expectation of getting drafted, and rightfully so, one of the better undrafted defensive players this year. To hear your name not called, you know, for seven rounds, to see yourself get passed up, you're chomping at the bit to get out to a team, to get out on the practice field, to have to wait then and finish up school, which is a great thing, obviously. It's something that, you know, obviously you have value education, but he wants to get on the practice field. So for James Waters, that's got to be rough. For Ty Montgomery, he's a third-round pick, and Mike McCarthy was asked about that. You know, this is not the first time that they've had to, you know, deal with a player that draft a player that was on quarters, and the NCAA rule for players that are on the NFL rule for players on quarters is that they have to finish out their semester before they can join the team. So they've had practice just like every other team in the NFL, and you know, for a young player, again, it's not like it doesn't hurt. It does. You definitely do miss something, or else there'd be no reason to be there. But it's something that, because they have a plan in place, I think that kind of limits the damage.
I was going through the archives at PackersNews.com and read your most recently published article on cornerback Sam Shields. I found it interesting that he's practicing heavily on the left side of the field during OTAs after playing, you know, primarily the right side most of his career in Green Bay. Do you think this is something that will last when the regular season rolls around and actual meaningful games are being played, that we're going to see Sam Shields on the left side of the field?
I think it comes down to whether or not Casey Hayward shows the coaches that he can handle the left side.
Okay.
If he does, they'll keep Sam Shields on the right side. Not to oversimplify it, but Joe Witt, especially the cornerback's coach, his approach is, if you don't have to make movements, changes, adjustments, if you don't have to do it, then you're not going to do it. They know Sam Shields is very good on the right side. He's at times, I mean, that's where his production comes from, is the right side. So they have a vacancy on the left for Mon Williams gone. If Casey Hayward, when he gets back on the practice field, can't handle that spot, I don't think they're going to move Sam Shields just to move Sam Shields. But if they feel more comfortable, obviously, with Sam Shields being on the left, with Casey Hayward making that transition from the slot where they're so good to the perimeter, then you'll see Sam Shields on the left side. So that's why they're practicing him there. And it is interesting because, one, he's had so much success there on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he's played there once before. Joe Witt said a couple of years ago against San Francisco, they tried him out on the left side. and they moved him back. So this isn't the first time, and that experiment didn't last long the first time. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if it takes more root, but that's just the way they view things. If changes don't need to be made, they won't make them, but this summer they're going to get him experience on the left side just in case he needs to play there in the fall.
Speaking of cornerbacks, last week was the first time Demaryius Randall was able to take part fully in a practice, not limited whatsoever, taking part in 11-on-11s, things like that. Obviously we don't have the full picture on him yet either, but I mean, how's the transition going from safety to like a perimeter cornerback for Demaryius Randall?
Yeah, he's a guy that he's clearly learning the defense still, which is totally to be expected because he is a rookie. I think that he's going to get better as he gets more comfortable with the defense. But it's not just learning a new defense, it's learning a new position. They've consistently played him at really boundary cornerback is where he's been at the most, the cornerback spot closest to the sideline. And it's really where they're going to look at it first. The day that they drafted him, Ted Thompson said he'd use him as a cornerback, and that's where he's been. So, I mean, he's long, he's athletic, you get a good sense of the athleticism. You can't get a good sense of the playmaking yet because when they're not wearing pads, when they're not really playing football, it's hard to do that. But you can certainly see with that athleticism that he does have that knack for the ball that the Packers talk so much about. It could be fun to watch.
It seems this week is the week that quarterback Aaron Rodgers conducts his annual one-on-one interviews with the local media. We've already seen articles published at ESPN.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week. Can we expect an exclusive at the Green Bay Press Gazette sometime soon?
Yep. We'll be having stuff from Aaron on Thursday tomorrow.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that. Last question here, Ryan, before we let you go. I know Rodgers has been practicing, but does he look 100% out there kind of in light of the calf injury last year? Is he practicing with any restrictions at all, or has he been trying to extend plays outside the pocket in 11-on-11s?
Yeah, there's been no restrictions for him. He obviously isn't getting a lot of reps because it's June. They've got a backup battle. You know, Scott Tolzien is the presumptive backup, but he hasn't been in this role, so it's important for him to get comfortable there. And then obviously your fifth-round rookie quarterback, Brett Hundley, he needs reps too. Aaron Rodgers does not need reps in June. You know what you're going to get from him in September, October, and all through the season. So he hasn't got a ton of reps, and it's impossible to tell just how healthy he is because he's not getting the reps, but there's no reason to think that the calf is a lingering issue. For one, he said that he's feeling perfectly fine, that the calf is not holding him back at all, and that it hasn't for some time. And for two, for someone with that kind of an injury, really the best remedy for a calf strain or a torn muscle in the calf is rest. And that's something that he was unable to get at the end of last season, obviously, because he had to play on it every week. But once the season ends, you get off the your legs, you get off the calf, you give it some rest, it heals up. So that won't be an issue. It's not an issue now, and obviously it won't be an issue come this season when the season starts. He'll be 100% healthy and ready to go.
Very cool. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight and analysis. We'd be happy to have you on the show again.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime. Good talking with you.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us here at Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him join us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. Just one point that I thought was really interesting and something I had not heard prior to just reading Ryan's recently published article in the last week or so about Sam Shields practicing on the left side. That's kind of a new development for the Packers. Like Ryan said, not exactly like unprecedented. Like It's not as if Sam Shields has never, ever lined up on the left side of the defense before. He has, but it's just, you know, the fact that he, you know, 98% of the time it's over, been over on the right when we're talking regular season games and they count, and, you know, we're not talking practice here or anything like that. But, you know, that's a big deal for a cornerback. You know, when this job, when professional football is your living, I mean, it takes a little bit of work to, you know, basically flip the hips the other way. You know, it seems easy in theory, but, you know, when you're trying to keep up with some of the fastest athletes in the world, that can take time, and that can be a transition trying to open up those hips the other way a lot of the time, especially when you're out on the perimeter. It can be different for a slot cornerback where you're not sure if your receiver's going to, you know, kind of do an inside breaking route or an outside breaking route, and you kind of have to be prepared to go either way. But when you're out on the perimeter, especially in your, the wide receiver you're covering is far out toward the sideline, you know, there's only one way he's going. He's either going straight down the field, or he's coming, he's breaking in. You know, there's no breaking out when you're already lining up on the sideline. So interesting for Sam Shields to kind of get that experience and try to become more comfortable with that. You know, what, whether that it's in the cards that, you know, when the regular season rolls around, he's lining up there. You know, we wait to see and find out. If I had to take a guess, I would say no, he's not going to, just from the standpoint that he has so much experience on the right side, and why mess with that? Here you've got Casey Hayward, who does have, you know, at least limited exposure playing over there already, or you've got perhaps one of the young guys stepping up, that Demaryius Randall, a Quentin Rollins. So, forced to guess, I would say Sam Shields going to stay on the right side, but that guess means very little at this point in the game in June here during the off season. But, continuing on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Here we are on a Wednesday, and the big news over the course of the past 24 hours that the Packers adding their 90th and final roster berth, filling it with Vince Kowalski, a rookie from the University of Villanova, undrafted rookie. And the interesting part that I kind of wanted to share here that maybe you haven't heard about yet, or any analysis from anywhere else. I'm sure you've seen the announcement, but Vince Kowalski becomes the second player that the Packers have signed that took part in the Kansas City Chiefs rookie minicamp on a tryout basis. So Kowalski signed on Tuesday, and you'll remember that cornerback Travis Manning, the Packers also signed him just before the start of OTA, so like 2-3 weeks ago. Travis Manning signed with the Packers. Both of them participated in the rookie minicamp of the Kansas City Chiefs. And of course, what's the connection there between the Chiefs and the Packers? It is current Chiefs general manager John Dorsey, of course, him being hired from Green Bay, former Packers front office executive. And I just wonder whether there's some kind of inside information being traded between Green Bay and Kansas City. You know, not necessarily anything that's illegal or against the rules by any means, but it's just interesting here that the Packers basically, after they had their own rookie minicamp, these two rookie minicamps were staggered. The Packers held theirs the first weekend following the NFL draft, so pretty much almost immediately. And then the second weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs held theirs, so staggered a little bit. And in fact, just another little interesting side note here, that a couple players that took part in the Packers rookie minicamp that the Packers didn't sign, offensive lineman Jake Silas and defensive lineman James Castleman, they went on to try out for the Chiefs. I don't believe the Chiefs signed either of them either. But, you know, there just seems to be some sort of connection that, is going beyond just mere coincidence, I guess. That's what it appears to the outside. Maybe it is mere coincidence, but, you know, it just seems to me that, maybe the Packers, like I said, they could have filled the roster in the aftermath of that rookie minicamp. They brought 25 players in for tryouts, and they, at the time, had left two spots open on their roster. You know, the 89th and 90th spots were kind of left open, and they waited several weeks. You know, first they signed Manning, then they signed Kowalski, and you just wonder if it's like, you know, Ted Thompson is talking to John Dorsey, or maybe it's not necessarily Ted Thompson, but another acquaintance within the organization, just and John Dorsey's like, you know, we didn't have room for these guys on a roster either, but they seem to be maybe the best guys we had that tried out, and they'd be worth a shot maybe. I wonder if that happened. So anyway, that's kind of the one insight I have here, and that the tryout information comes courtesy of the Kansas City Star, who tried out at the Chiefs rookie minicamp. But yeah, so the Packers making a roster move, and now the roster's full. From here on out, if the Packers want to add anybody, they've got to subtract somebody. And, it can happen. I know sometimes in the past they've kind of gotten through the off-season programs. Like, they get through OTAs, they get through minicamp, and they'll kind of realize, especially with some of the rookies, be like, this guy isn't really cut out for the NFL. We're just going to cut ties now, not take him into training camp. Seems to be a rarity. They usually, you know, it's not like that happens a lot, but, you know, maybe once every few years you might see that, every other year, or, you know, once a year you might see that kind of thing, where a spot could be opened up here in another week or two when the off-season program ends. This is, you know, pretty much the group the Packers will be taking into training camp when it opens in late July. Next part of the show,
the day ahead,
the Green Bay Packers, here on a Wednesday, practice takes place at 11:30 a.m. Central Time and is open to the public. Practice takes place at Clark Hinkle Field today, and is like I said, open to the public. Only one practice per week is open. So today's the day. If you're in the Green Bay area, interested in going, today's the day to see it, because you won't see it again until next week when mini camps take place. And what's interesting here, the insight I have for you over the Packers' schedule today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, it is actually during you got to read the league's collective bargaining agreement to find this out. I've combed it a few times. It's a very long document, but it's interesting. Actually, during the third week of OTAs, you are allowed an extra practice. Basically, they're allowed three practices per week prior to this. And now, starting this week, they're allowed a fourth practice. But that fourth practice basically reverts to phase two of the team's off-season program. In order to hold it, it cannot be a full team practice environment with 11-on-11s. It basically reverts back to individual position workouts. No team stuff. Basically, it's the running backs working together, the tight ends working together, defensive backs working together, linebackers, et cetera, just positional work. And so that will take place. There's nothing requiring the Packers to do this, but the way their OTA schedule is set up, they practiced yesterday, they practiced today, and then they practice again on Friday. So they're leaving Thursday open. And so that's, and this is the schedule released by the NFL. So kind of reading between the lines here, tomorrow, Thursday, is the day the Packers kind of, you know, will basically go back to individual position workouts if they so choose. Like I said, nothing's requiring them to do this. They could give the players the day off if they want it. But just a little wrinkle in the practice schedule here in week three of OTAs, the third and final week before mandatory mini camp next week. And we're still kind of waiting for official word from the Packers organization on the schedule for mini camp in terms of what's open to the public and what's not. There's been no word from the Packers organization thus far, so we are kind of still waiting on that. But looking forward to it. Be interesting to see the storylines that come out of practice today. We talked about several of them with Ryan Wood early in the show. I think, you know, the cornerback position continues to be one of the biggest storylines, you know, whether it's where Sam Shields is lining up or how the rookies are looking, Demaryius Randall and Quint Rollins. Now that Randall is healthy, it's making a whole lot more interesting in seeing how these guys are doing and how they compare to one another. Like we said before, basically Quint Rollins has been practicing with the first string as the slot cornerback. So while he's kind of been practicing with the starters in that capacity, it's actually been Demaryius Randall who's gotten more reps as the perimeter guy on the second team. And he's kind of, you know, that's good for him because he's getting those reps out there and becoming more comfortable and things like that. And that will just continue to be one of the storylines to follow and the things to watch during practice for as long as the off-season program lasts, but not going to last too much longer. So anyway, that'll be interesting to watch. The return of John Kuhn today, be interesting to watch. And, of course, his competition at the fullback position, Aaron Ripkowski. So just a few of the storylines happening here on a Wednesday, and we'll wait for more to emerge, whether it's, you know, players coming back from injury or players actually hopefully not suffering any injuries and having to sit out of practice, but we'll see. That'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show. Appreciate you turning in. And by the way, I want to thank you. You know, I sit here at the end of every show and ask people to give us a rating on iTunes. We finally hit the 100 rating barrier, which I went and checked some of the, you know, like the other Packers podcasts on the internet. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel podcast with Tyler Dunn and Bob McGinn, Green and Gold Today, the Packers Talk Network. None of those places have nearly 100 ratings on iTunes, and we reached that at Cheesehead TV. So appreciate you, you know, taking the time to give us a rating. If you haven't already, we'd love to have you do it. Like I said, just kind of gets the word out and lets people know, hey, we are the best Packers podcast on the internet, at least in my opinion. So thanks a lot for that, folks. Thanks to Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette for joining us on the show this morning. We'll be back again on Friday, so look forward to talking to you then. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show on demand and available for download later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack. Go.